Welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, Toastmasters, listeners and friends. You're very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com. Our email address is info@irishtalkers.com. You can also find us on Facebook as the Talk Show for Talkers, and we look forward to your feedback. In fact, we regard it as evaluation, so we try to act on what you send back to us. You can also listen to previous shows on our website, irishtalkers.com. And we also publish the Public Speaking Weekly. This is a roundup of links from the internet, all about Toastmasters, nothing about the Talk Show for Talkers, public speaking, confidence, leadership. So look out for the newspaper link on our website. My name is Ted Malamphy, and I'm joined again this week by the multi-talented, mercurial Moira O'Brien.
Well, Ted, thank you very much for that slippery introduction, because you see, mercurial, well, when I was a child, I had a fascination for mercury. I used to steal it from the physics lab. And I'm amazed that I actually managed to survive it and I didn't get fatal mercury poisoning.
Well, we'll have to debate that, Maura, because you have the silver hair.
Well, yes, only when the dye grows out.
No, I don't think that doesn't look as if it has dyed at all. It looks like that stuff, mercury, which is also called quicksilver.
This is true.
You know, so it's very becoming. And of course, we also have the sergeant at arms from the OCOW. This is the new One World, One Club that was launched so impressively last Sunday. What a party and what a ceremony for this new club. What a fantastic initiative. Well done, Paul.
Well, thank you very much, Ted. For listeners who haven't a clue what Ted is talking about, I wouldn't worry about it, really. It was a kind of little thing on the aside. But it was the celebration, the chartering celebration of a club. That's something that a club does after it has chartered. It then has to honour the charter members in some way. And the officers of the new club have to be installed. And that's what it was. It was a very elaborate ceremony, international. If anyone is interested in it, they can look up on the internet, One Country, One World. And I don't suppose I should be plugging the club here, since this podcast is sponsored by District 71 and One Country, One World is part of District U.
Paul, thanks for that, because what I thought was also very impressive and very poignant. And a good reminder to Toastmasters the world over, since you are a member of a club that is literally all over the world, was the fact that you all recited the Toastmasters promise, which I had to do when I joined Toastmasters back in 2008. And it's something that newer clubs, we seem to have lost that. And I think it's something that's well worth doing. And I'm delighted to say that it is part of the drive that our district director, Germanix, has launched his district leadership year on, the Toastmasters promise.
Yes, Gerd has encouraged every single club president in District 71, the 200 and whatever it is, 277 clubs, that at the start of every meeting, the club president will refer to in some way, the more creative and interesting, the better, the a Toastmasters promise. And this particular club, as you say, had a very ceremonial reading of the promise with members of the club reciting the promise. And I thought it was a very fitting aspect of the entire thing, because it expresses terrifically well the values that bind the members of that club together and that bind the members of so many other clubs in Toastmasters International together.
You're so right. It's a little bit like putting your hand on the Bible and say, I promise.
A lot of organisations have a piece of collateral which is really part of their brand. It's an absolutely core part of description of what they are. And since you are not permitted to join Toastmasters International, any club, unless you make the promise and sign your name to say that you have made the promise, and that is kept on the club's records in perpetuity, it's a pretty important piece of collateral. And as you know, I'm totally in favour of it. And as a division director this year, every single thing that goes up on the division Facebook page has an element of the promise put up before it. Just excuse me hogging the airwaves there.
No, Ted. You're not. You were asked the question and you answered it very eloquently. And I think what's important about that is you will have Toastmasters from some parts of the world listening to this podcast, and they'll be saying, what are the two of those gentlemen speaking about? We always give the promise when we become Toastmasters, because in some parts of the world, particularly in my own division, I think some of our clubs, I have not heard that this is something that's done when you're inaugurating a new member. And I think it's something that's well worth moving and pushing on. And I think we should make sure that it becomes part of every new member's mantra when he joins Toastmasters.
I think we're very dependent on club presidents. Now, Moira O'Brien, who's a co-presenter on this podcast, who has kept quiet throughout most of this week's show, is in an unrivaled position as a president in a club to lead the club committee, to lead the club members, to start a new habit or revive what you say, Ted, the practice which was carried out in your day, but to bring that in. I, as you know, would entirely be in favour of this, but I would have no authority in the situation. Only Moira has authority.
Well, it just so happens...
You have the authority to give guidance. So, sorry, Moira.
It just so happens that I have been giving the Toastmasters promise at all of our meetings so far this Toastmasters year, bar one. I think I forgot last time, which was a little bit naughty of me.
But it's easy to forget. Yeah. Well done, Maria. You're a good example for carrying on and bringing back that tradition.
Thank you.
And what I would like to say is that Paul is going to be talking about something very important later on. He's going to be talking about registration, about how many members are we going to have this year. Are we going to hang on to some? Are we going to lose some? So he will be talking about renewing your membership. So that's going to be a nice topic, and I'm certainly looking forward to that. Nothing benign whatsoever about that. That's very proactive. And, of course, Moira is going to be putting on her psychologist's hat, and she's going to be telling us all about confidence, particularly from a psychologist's point of view. So that should be good. Of course, I'm going to have a thought for the week, which I am now going to give you. And Paul is going to have a word of the week that I may have alluded to. So I'm going to give my thought for the week. Either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. Either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. And that was given to us by Benjamin Franklin.
And if any of you have been paying attention to some of our previous podcasts where we covered rhetorical devices, this is actually using a rhetorical device called chiasmus, where you have a figure of speech in which two or more clauses are related to each other through a reversal of structures. Well, it's not quite, is it? It's nearly.
It's close enough to a bar. The one that I use to demonstrate chiasmus is, do I love you because you're here, or are you here because I love you?
Yes. Yeah.
Which demonstrate. I said that at a Toastmasters club one night, and the lady I was looking at smiled at me, but all the other ladies in the audience frowned at me. So you have to be careful who you're looking at when you say it.
I don't do much cooking, Ted, but I wanted to ask you, do you by any chance have this recipe for this thing I've just heard about, the chiasmus? What ingredients?
Well, that's best done, actually, Paul, with a drizzle of olive oil in a pan. Don't have the pan smoking, medium heat. Have plenty of green, red and yellow peppers that we sometimes use as indicators for table topics.
So you kind of pepper your language? You pepper your language with
spice it a little bit.
I think we're getting. I think
but that chiasmus can be very nice, actually. But you, what you do is you fry it first, and then you put it into the oven for about 4 hours, because it can be quite tough. This is becoming a recipe show. We gave a recipe last week for how to cook fish.
Well, we're not being very benign with our choice of words here.
I'd like to make a non-threatening intervention. Listeners, when you're going to make an unthreatening intervention into a situation, you're going to be mild, aren't you? And if you want a two-syllabled word which means the same as mild, try benign. So you talk about two meanings for the word benign. It's an adjective, first of all. I must tell you how not to spell it. Do not spell it B-E-N-I-N-E, B-9. No, it's B-E-N-I-G-N. Goodness knows how the poor people who are trying to learn English can possibly understand that. What century do you think it comes from, guys? Let me just ask both of you, quick, without looking up on the internet. Some may have done their research already. We'll
16th
know.
16th century, Paul?
I was going to say 17th. 17th
way
century.
Way wrong. Oh, no, look here, guys. It comes from the 14th century. So it's been around. It's been around a good length of time, practically back to Chaucer. You know, so it's whatever it is. Anyway, it means mild and unthreatening, and it's used most frequently today in relation to cancer, where people talk about benign. The cancer is benign, and that means that it's unthreatening. That means it's not dangerous, that it's mild, that it can be got rid of very easily. It may be a cancer, but it's benign. So that's but the word can be used in other contexts where you can talk about somebody having a benign disposition.
That's absolutely me to a T. And on that...
That's true, Maura, mild, and can be removed.
That fell on deaf ears, didn't it? So I think we'd better bring this particular section to a close. And we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be bringing you a second place in the World Championship of Public Speaking 2020. Looking forward to that. The Talk Show for Talkers is published every week in sections at 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Go to our website, irishtalkers.com, for more information.